This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
And a mic. Two. And a mic. Two. Two. And a mic. Two. Two. Education, when used as a term plucked from the ether, sounds at times like a surreal object that lies somewhere beyond societal control. It is a multi-headed beast that thrashes at those that try to lead it, cutting off limbs and laying waste to buildings and centres that in an alternative universe are called schools. Putting the drama to one side, however, we still find ourselves unable, as a society, to set a functional system in place that not only builds on the natural abilities of children, but also allows teachers to teach without the stress of non-teaching related activities. In some cultures, teachers are treated with respect, as these people provide the foundation for continued learning, but also the motivation that propels young adults forward. Of course, there are teachers who are not so inclined, who do not teach from a passion for imparting knowledge and inspiring creativity, nor dedicate themselves to this fundamental role, but they are decidedly the minority. Raphael, an educator and passionate advocate for improved teaching methods, though not necessarily through the use of tablets and technology, joins me today to talk about the wonders and pitfalls of education, the motivation and inspiration of instant feedback, and at times the frustration and difficulties of bureaucracy. Thank you, Raphael, for your time, patience, and passion. Raphael, thank you very much for accepting my invitation to come and join me on my podcast. It's great to have you.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah. And quickly, as it's very, very important to point out that the reason why we know one another is this special little man here. Come.
Hello.
No, come speak into the mic. Say hello.
Hello.
How old are you?
I'm 9 years old and I am the son of my dad.
Oh, it's such a wonderful way of putting
from
it. Okay.
Zach here. Yeah. And I wanted to say the podcast from Two and a Mic is, I think it's really cool, and that is what I wanted to say.
Thank you very much.
Cool to say something in this podcast.
Cool. All right. And Raphael, he's a really cool guy, yeah? He is
one of our teachers in the school, and I like him because he's playing with me in the hort.
Yeah, sort of after school club.
Yeah, and that is
good. All right, take care.
Yep, goodbye.
Have a nice evening.
Yeah. Okay, Raphael, look, education for me is really, really important, and I find the older I get, the more important education becomes, because I don't have to do anything in it, but I can always lecture other people. However, okay, that's not true because I'm an English trainer, but forget that. But you actually work with kids, and obviously kids are the future of any society. So, you know, the work that you do is extremely important. Can you give us just a bit of background? So why is it you got into teaching? What kind of interests do you have?
Well, I was going to university and attended university in that direction, but I changed courses and I stopped doing that. But in the meantime, I started being a football coach for kids, and that raised my interest for teaching kids stuff and having a good time, giving them a good time, learn from them, making them learn. And so I did the education of a educator, or the studying of an educator, and started working at the school where your kid is also. And, it's always there are different types of motivation. It's like the things I didn't have, the things I knew which was going wrong, and also things I liked. You know, kids give you so much back. And that's the most direct feedback you can have. You know, that's not money. It's just a smile and the fun and everything they give you back. So I have to say, sometimes it's hard to wake up early in the morning, like 4:30. But it's always always motivating to have those kind of experiences. So And I know I'm doing a good thing. You know, I'm doing good stuff. So.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many different topics, my work, for us that we can potentially discuss. I mean, we've listed a few here.
Yeah.
And we'll try to get through them if possible. I mean, I'll jump around, by the way. Yeah. I love doing that. I can't keep it completely.
Easy.
Yeah. Cool. All right. Yeah. But we also, just to give a bit more like background, we also share a passion in basketball. So
that's true.
Yeah.
That's
true. You know, I've seen you throwing a few hoops up. and you came to training once. And
I did.
Yeah. How did you feel about it?
I was always interested in basketball and sports in general. I was more a footballer always, but basketball was always my second passion in sports. Big Michael Jordan fan back in the days. I saw Space Jam, I think, 98 times. Wow. I had it as a VHS. And, I collected the cards. I watched a lot of games. The most thing I watch at YouTube is basketball. I play basketball at the PlayStation. I listen to basketball podcasts all the time. And it's just fun. You know, also when I was a football coach, we had training in the indoors, and there were always basketball hoops. And when I was waiting for the kids to come, or also afterwards, I was throwing some hoops, always taking that opportunity. Mm. I also do it in school. I teach kids basketball on a low level because I'm not an expert. I mean, I was at your training. I didn't keep up that well, but that's okay. I had fun.
Some of the guys are good in the team.
Yeah, I saw your guys doing a lot of good things. You know, I didn't go past them, but I tried my best.
It's all about fun, right? So
yeah. It's only that. And I would like to, you know, do it more, get my knee better, and attend basketball on a more regular basis. But it's not always possible.
Yeah.
But thanks for the invitation also.
Yeah, it's an open one. So when your knee's ready,
yeah,
come join us.
I'm going to see a doctor very soon, and then I'm coming back. I'm going to train before a little bit, so it's maybe I can keep up a little bit more.
Cool. All right. No, good. I mean, your physical condition is, I don't think it's an issue. You can run a lot more than me, but...
Yeah. This my lung has also, you know, get to be trained.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know.
That's down to you. That's not down to you.
Get stronger.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right. Before we jump into the main topics then, can you just run us through your average kind of day? So you said before you wake up sometimes at 4:30. I mean, that's not every day, is it?
No. It's only the Frühdienst. I don't know how it is called in English.
It's the early shift.
Yeah, the early shift. But this year I don't have early shifts.
Cool.
I'm very glad about that. Normally I wake up about between 6 and 6:30. I try to do a little bit sports in the before I go to work, like a little bit for the body, a little bit fitness, every body part, arms, breast, back, legs, everything. But it doesn't always work. So sometimes I have to do it after work. But I'm getting up, trying to do some sports, having a short time of a breakfast, and then just go to work via the train. Not so long. Sometimes from my place, sometimes from my girlfriend's place, which is a little bit shorter way. And I'm at work normally until 4. And after that, you know, sometimes meeting friends, sometimes meeting my girlfriend, cooking, riding a bike, having some biking tours with friends, making music. Also with my trio and with some friends sometimes at the studio. Or just playing some basketball by myself. A lot of different things.
What kind of music?
I played in a rock metal band before, but it's a long time ago. I was a drummer. And now I'm doing kind of funky electronic sounds with two friends of mine. I'm the singer, and also, you know, we all compose the stuff. It's more funny. It's not very, very serious, but we have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It's not always for kids, the lyrics.
Enough said.
So but it's a lot of fun doing it. We also have an album and stuff, but easy level, just having fun with some friends.
Okay, that's all right. It. All right, well, maybe you can give me some names and some links later on.
I will do. I can, so
yeah, I'll put
them. Maybe you will never invite me again then.
I don't have to listen to it. I just have to put the links up. No, I'm joking. Cool. Okay. Yeah. And in school then, so when you get to work, so between your arrival at what, 8 o'clock?
Yeah, mostly it's 8 o'clock.
Okay. All right. And until 4:30, yeah. Whatever. What kind of stuff do you do during the day then?
At first, we mostly have now at the Corona days, we have to test the kids, helping them with the tests. And then, you know, we help the kids with learning. We are not like the teachers. We are assisting them also during the courses, during the lessons. And if some kids have troubles, we help them when they're working with their individual work. I'm also Integrationserzieher, also
integration trainer. Yeah.
For kids who need more help, who have special needs. So we're sometimes very close to them with working sometimes the whole lesson. That's one part of our job, helping the teachers and the kids in the lessons. And we also have the AGs, Arbeitsgemeinschaften, working groups. Mm-hmm. And I do a lot of sports related stuff. I had to run and track, I had football, I had now just a variety of sports and group games. That's one passion of mine, so I try to use my passion to bring it to the kids. You know, sometimes we have that situation that a kid attended my group of basketball and he was so enthusiastic about it and had so much fun that he now attends a real basketball club. So that's, you know, cool. that's one little success you can have. You don't always have to that he's gonna make his money with it, but if you can make him so interested and having so much fun that he wants to do more, that's a success. And then also we have the free time with our class. So we have some kind of projects, like we have Christmas, so we try to do little things for Christmas, you know, drawing, painting, doing stuff with Christmas, for example, or making group games for the whole group to cooperate together. And then also just simple things like going to dinner with them, to lunch with them. And, you know, you don't have to always be so strongly attached to the kids, just let them be sometimes. Sometimes you just have to have a look, just watch out for them, just leave them be, but give them some space for their own, you know. Sometimes just play with them, having a good time. And also when they have questions or when they have conflicts, kids often come to you when they have conflicts, when they don't know what to do. And so we try to help them. Yeah, it's I don't know. Last time I listed my jobs, I was like 7 or 8. I'm also at the Erweiterte Schulleitung, which is I don't know,
advanced training.
Yeah, you know, when the all the heads come together and talk about overall group stuff, school stuff. I'm also involved in that and try to give my input in some broader decisions, which is a lot of fun for me because I'm not that guy who just lays back and let things be. I like to change the things. And also when we have group meetings, I cannot shut my mouth. I can't. I always have to say some stuff. And I know I'm annoying people. I know that. But it's impossible for me. I always have to express my opinion and give input. You know, the newest stuff is to save our ears because it's way too loud and we need a better acoustic to save our ears and the ears of the kids because that's for our health. And if we don't do that, we're gonna suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So. That's just little things. I always try to do. Always try to do stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. No, it's cool. I mean, recently I read. Well, I say read. I listened to an audiobook by Michelle Obama, Becoming, and she actually read it. So it was brilliant to read these books. Went to listen to these books where they actually speak themselves. So much of what she spoke about her sort of earlier best experiences, and also when she started seeing her husband Barack, a lot of community work. Goes into that, and it requires speaking up. When you see something that's not right, you got to talk up, you got to get involved.
Yeah.
Because it's just too easy to turn around and go home and lock yourself away, isn't it?
Yeah. And what annoys me is always when the, you know, the people get upset and get annoyed and express that being annoyed instead of showing the alternative. You know, I'm always asking about, okay, you're annoyed, you are very negative about something. What is the alternative? Please tell me. And the thing is, in my opinion, I know it's sometimes very harsh, but if you don't present me an alternative, then I think you should be a little bit more quiet. You know, sometimes there aren't any alternatives of doing, you know, especially in the pandemic we now have. We have to, you know, all go through that. Nobody wants to do certain things, but we have to do it. And we have to stay strong and be resilient and make the best out of it. But if you always, you know, just lean back and say that everything is bad and you have no idea, then nothing's going to be better. And that should be our approach, to do it better or the best way you can. The best it can be.
I remember when I was sort of involved in community politics back in London, what used to really vex me would be people who used to be critical quite vocally, but then when it came to actually doing work, they were never around. And you think to yourself, okay, talk, complain, but then come and contribute. You know, to simply complain and then piss off, forgive my English, you know, that doesn't work.
That annoys me. That annoys me very, very much.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Interesting. Some of these other things. So you mentioned special needs, but I mean, obviously I'm familiar with the school. I haven't seen as it special needs with regards to specific disabilities. Does this refer more to sort of social integration when you say special needs?
It's very diverse. We have a kid with Down syndrome.
Okay.
We are helping this kid to, because he needs more help with learning, which is okay. We also have we had a kid with autism.
Okay.
He needs a lot of time. He needs always somebody with him. He's very It is nearly, it was nearly impossible to do things on his own. He was afraid of a lot of things. And then we also have kids with, aggressive, too much aggressiveness in themselves, or also cognitive mm-hmm. problems, and ADHD, and what else? Problems of learning and keeping what they learned to save it, and. A big variety of stuff, and also a kid who had to get a what's it called? She couldn't eat properly. She had to get it per okay. yeah All yeah. Right. So it's a big variety of topics we have. Yeah, but at the moment I have a kid with cognitive problems, Down syndrome, and we're gonna get a kid with the so-called fire disease, which is new for me. It's a kid who hasn't been in a school for 1.5 years now, and he's it's like when it's stress, when it's too hot or it's too much for him, or he's afraid, he feels like a very strong pain in his arms and legs.
Oh, wow.
So he sometimes also needed a wheelchair. He's gonna come to our place, I guess, tomorrow or Wednesday or so. Okay. In a few days, he's gonna come. It's gonna be a new experience for me, and I'm kind of excited how it's gonna be. You know,
do you have to do like special training for these scenarios? I mean, to know how to react if the problem arises.
I got my education for it, but some of those things you are not taught. You know, you have to experience it. The best thing is to talk with other people who have more experience. We have more of those kind of educators like me. I'm not so experienced like others, so I ask them a lot. And also we have teachers for special needs, and I talk to them also. And we talk to other institutes. And also you have just to look it up at the internet. So you always have to get yourself your input. You know, I mean, I had those. I had 9 months of training, but it's not enough.
Yeah,
it's not enough.
Okay. All right. And do you like? Can you also register for like specific training courses when you experience during the year that I didn't react as well? I need to.
Yeah, of course you can. Of course you can. There's always the possibility of getting educated and more and more. Mm-hmm. Of course. Okay. Yeah.
All right, cool. I mean, before we were talking, then you mentioned, obviously, I think we almost all of us would agree upon the importance of education. But there are a few things which you think are perhaps systemically not quite there, as in, do you think there's a lack of support from regional governments, or do you think it's more than that? And also, just quickly, can you explain how in Germany, because of the federal system, education is organized differently to how maybe the UK would be organized?
Yeah, in general, I think education should get a way much higher priority. The government doesn't spend enough money. It is not in that focus. You know, we had elections in September. In September it was. And education was no big topic. It didn't matter that much, but it's always about money and I don't know. Now it was, of course, Corona and unemployment. Of course, environment. It's very important, of course, but I didn't see myself represented in that election phase. So I didn't see a lot of education topics. And also, if we had there was a strike from the teachers, protests, and it wasn't very, very much represented in the media.
Well, strikes tend to get like negative press, don't they?
Yes.
Because they always create inconvenience. Yeah. Yeah. So you hear the word strike, you think, oh shit, not again. How's this going to affect me? And then you start looking it up. But I mean, you know, the teachers are practically on the front lines at the moment, aren't they? In the same way that nurses and doctors are.
Yes. So, yes, of course. Yeah. They have every right to go on the street and protest. And for me, it was good. And one thing is the circumstances on of our work are not getting better. You know, it's getting harder. And I'm working in a working field with a lot of stress and burnouts and other mental, you know, problems in the long term. And we are not saved from that. So, and there's not a lot done for it. That it has to be better. So, and also, you know, in that whole pandemic situation, just from my perspective, the kids were suffering very much, a lot. They had to, you know, set back their own needs a lot and don't see other kids and get isolated. And there are a lot of, you know, when the lockdown was over, a lot of kids came back and they were different people. They were very different.
You could sense this like quite clearly. Yeah.
I had a kid who was very outgoing, outspoken, always happy. He came back, he was very afraid, more from himself, didn't seek the contact to other people. So the time made something with the kids. Not all of them. Some of them were very resilient and had a good environment who supported them, but other didn't. And some of the kids did not have the resources to learn at home. So, I think we should do way more for the kids. Way more. Spend more money, get more, pay the educators more, pay the teachers more, do more for the school environment. I mean, there are a lot of schools where you cannot even get a shower because it's so dirty and, you know, the water's coming from. The pipes are so dirty and for kind of poisoned. You know it yourself when in basketball training, when you have to go to some halls, you cannot go to shower because it's so dirty.
I don't shower anymore in these public halls. I shower at home because I say to hell, I'm not going to risk it.
Yeah. You know? And some schools have to get closed and stuff. We have to spend more in entirely for it and put it more on the map, more priority. Get it into our heads how important it is. But sometimes I have to say that's just my impression. It's not wanted. It's not wanted because if we get more, if we get a better education, we also get more critical thinkers. And does every government want a lot of critical thinkers? I doubt it. Mm. I must say.
But I mean, it's interesting, you know, because I've read a lot about the experiences of teachers in the UK. Teaching as a career has become shorter and shorter, because as you said, people suffer from burnout considerably. And the whole job has changed over the last 30 or 40 years. So in the past, you'd have somebody who maybe graduated or finished their education, they'd become a teacher, and then they'd retire.
Yeah.
Nowadays, people go into teaching, and then within 10 years, they're burnt out.
Yeah.
And they go into sales jobs, for example, because they can't take it.
Yeah.
And people tend to see that in the UK, it's really bad. And I've read stories where sort of British teachers have come to Europe and said, oh, in Europe, they appreciate teachers more and more and more.
Yeah.
So I can imagine, you know, if somebody there hears this, they say, oh, but Germany, it's got such a good educational system and people can stay in education in Germany for as long as they want, almost. Yeah, it's like unlimited. Yeah,
You don't have to pay so much at universities and stuff.
Yeah, that kind of thing. So there is some kind of support structure there. However, what you're saying is the early years or maybe the new generation coming through is lacking in this support, do you think?
I think there are a lot of possibilities to do things better. Because, for example, at my school, we have special circumstances because of the special needs of the kids and big classes. And not everybody is educated for being a good educator, a good teacher at that work. Maybe it's too much for them. Sometimes it could be overwhelming. And sometimes there are situations like, what the hell am I going to do now with this kid or with this class? I don't know. The thing is, we have to make it more attractive to go in that in that route to get an educator or teacher, because it's so important. But now we don't have enough teachers. So now the trend is going that the classes will become bigger. But everybody is gonna suffer from it. Nobody's gonna benefit from it. Only I don't know. Maybe some parents, because they have their kids in school. But we need more teachers. We need more educators. We need more staff. Everything about it. And because you know, if you have, well, I would say one teacher and 20 kids, it's a big difference to when one teacher has 25. Or even 30. Some of the kids won't get the treatment they need, won't get the help they need, and then they won't gonna learn properly. They won't feel good in school. So there's no benefit from it. Absolutely not.
Do you feel then that there is this likelihood that governments will move towards a technological solution? Because, I mean, there is a fear that, you know, this system called Common Core, I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No, not really.
It's where basically almost everything is multiple choice, where kids are just taught how to pass the test and that kind of thing. And they don't actually necessarily learn a subject to its depths. And this is something which is in some ways being imported from abroad. And one of the fears is that you basically give every kid a tablet and the educational or the curriculum is set then by an IT company. It's not even teachers anymore.
Yeah.
And clearly this is a problem because, as you said before, you know, if you want to have critical thinkers, then you need to have people who know how to analyze and can sort of come up with their own arguments and so on. But if you've got people who simply have a list of questions like multiple choice, then they're really going to be quite dumbed down, aren't they?
I have to say it's... I don't like thinking about that. Really not. Mm. You know, if you don't only have that multiple choice on only by media, people are going to miss something, you know. The learning method, one of the learning methods I pressure them, like the most is from the hand into the head, you know. And if you only tip on the tablet, there's no way to your head, so you don't save it. And that's one problem we have also, because kids don't write so much anymore as before. Okay, that's a normal development, and some things we have to accept, that it's more media, more technology. But if it's only technology, I'm very much afraid that we are on the wrong way. So I don't want to think about that in the future. Please not. Please not.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is one of the things which is interesting, because the previous Chancellor, Angela Merkel, she wanted to invest like 5 billion euros into providing almost every kid with a tablet. And quite funnily, this is where the federal system of Germany really came into its, you know, prime, because all the federal states said, no, education is our baby. you do what you do on the federal level, leave education to us. This definitely, I was really happy, because I'm afraid, as you are, of this kind of Common Core system being introduced. But do you think having the federal governments or the federal states responsible for education is good overall for a country? Because I've also heard many people say that the level of education in Bavaria is higher than, say, the level of education in Brandenburg.
Yeah.
And doesn't this kind of lead to discrimination in the future from as universities or jobs? Oh, okay, you studied in Brandenburg.
We have a kind of a disbalance, I would say. I mean, the studies show us, they tell us. I mean, if you have it on a federal base, it has good and bad, because they know in Bavaria more about Bavaria. And if it's from a central government said what you should do, it can also do harm. But that we have such a disbalance between Berlin, Brandenburg, and Baden-Württemberg and Bavaria is not a good thing. So we should, as a whole, should try to overcome that big difference, you know. But we also have, I mean, even here in Berlin, we have a big difference. In the days when I made my school degree, we had a very big variety of difference in schools. I was raised in Spandau, and it was like an elite school. And I have to be honest, I wouldn't have made it. It was very, very tough. It was Prussian background, very, very, very strict.
Tough, militaristic.
Yeah, kind of that. You know, when you had a Hefter had a knick. And when your book had a, you know, wasn't, you know, right, it was a bad note, a six, or you had to do everything over again. But very, 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 very hard.
Very strict.
And I was going to a school in the woods, very, very laid back. Everything was easy. I didn't have to learn that much. So even there was a big difference. And that's the question. Do we need a standard, or do we have to differentiate a lot? But there were like colleagues of mine or students who went to school, the same school as me. They went to another school after 10th class because they knew when they would go to another school, it would be much easier. And their grades were much better than mine in the end. But at the time we were together, they weren't near as mine. So they went the easier path. So I mean, where does it start? Where does it end? That's a question. I don't know.
No. I mean, there are so many different parts of the development. But I mean, looking at some of the other issues that you wanted to talk about, because I mean, we could speak about these individually. But this sort of first session with you. So you also talk about physical development. What do you mean by that?
Ooh. You know, I have I'm focusing a lot on sports, and what I see is a strong regression of physical abilities. Things I had to do when I was a kid in sports, a lot of kids aren't able to do that. Just like, you know, running for 3 minutes in a circle, or When I do some, I'm also sometimes in a teacher's role, especially in sports. When I do some stuff which are not, in my eyes, not very difficult, kids cannot keep up with it. They are exhausted very, very quickly. Or the way they walk and run, because kids today are too much inside. They don't go outside, do not climb on the trees, do not explore themselves and running around in every kind of place. They don't move. So when they have to move, their body and their brain has no experience. So their physical development is lacking a lot. And I mean, some kids cannot even, you know, run backwards properly, if they should, with, I don't know, 10 years or so. And these are not kids with special needs in general. They have a lot of problems with some kind of coordination, standing on one leg, and even knowing what's left and right. Sometimes that is too hard for them. And that's a trend which is very worrying, very, very worrying for me. And we should encourage kids more to move and do sports or any kind of stuff. But it's also a thing about, you know, urbanizing your area, you know. I don't know how you were brought up, but you had, I guess you had the possibilities to move and run around in the woods and in the greens.
I did all sorts of stuff, I have to say. But if my sons tried to do any of the things that I did, I'd be so scared.
That's also a trend.
Yeah.
I remember my mom, she was always pulling on my arm when I was even crossing the street. Like I could be dying any second. Yeah. But I think we should sometimes let the kids be, you know, running around, testing, explore, move, fail, stand up again.
I mean, it's funny because, I mean, some of these things that you're saying, I would actually also target at adults, you know, as in move around. I mean, I have a few students who they said basically after a few months into Corona times, you know, they had suffered from serious back pain and they went to the doctors and doctors says, because you don't walk anymore. Before, when you're in the office, you know, you want to speak to your colleague, you have to get up and walk 50 meters and then you walk 50 meters back, or you have to go to the coffee machine, you know, you have to walk 20 meters there. We don't have this anymore. There's not enough movement. So naturally this leads to certain physical problems that also develop. But I also found this, what you said about failing, it's good to fail, you know. And in Germany, you've got this principle, Fehlkultur, where it's okay to fail. Yeah. You learn from experience. Yeah. But so few companies actually have this. If you screw up in some companies, you're out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's not very good.
No. But still, we should encourage the kids to fail. And also allow ourselves to fail, because we all fail every day. Nobody is without failure. And even if you're just good friends, colleagues, kids, I don't know, just encourage other people that it's okay to fail, because you're still going to be loved and supported. Don't be afraid to make big mistakes. But but I must say that I myself also sometimes I'm lacking the bravery to really go forwards for some things, and because I'm scared to fail, you know. But I see it a lot here.
But I mean, that's also a question of responsibility. So one criticism that I get from lots of my students, and again, I stress, I don't work with kids, I work with adults. A lot of them are critical of their bosses because their bosses don't want to take responsibility. They don't want to make decisions. So, you know, they have a problem, they ask their boss, you know, boss, can I do this? And the boss says, oh, I don't know, let me speak to my boss, you know. And then a decision that should take a few seconds ends up taking months, because it's got to go all the way up the chain and then all the way back down again. How are these things for you? How quickly is it? So let's say you identify a problem within the school. And you'd like to introduce changes. Now, I know that there's a school body, so it's not simply a question of you talking to the boss. They have to go to the school body, and then there's a legal issue. Can we do this and so on? Okay. But generally speaking, within that whole school system, how hard is it to introduce new concepts for teaching?
Oof, it's a long way. Yeah. It's a very long way. Not even concepts of teaching, but like I said before, the acoustic and the safety for the ears. I'm talking about it for now 6 years. Nothing has changed. But now I'm getting closer to it. And we developing a sort of concept and as a group and going forward to the body. And then, but they also have to go to the government, which is kind of strange, because you don't have to build something. It's just like putting things on the wall and the roof. Not the roof, but the
ceiling.
The ceiling. So you don't have to, you know, really build something. You just stick it and put it on. But still, you have to go to the government first, which is strange, because why? You know, every school has a budget. but why do we have to give us the budget? Why do we have to ask the government first? And I'm afraid that it's still gonna take about 1 or 2 years. I don't know. And also at our place, this plan to build a new Sporthalle, a new
sports hall.
Yeah, sports hall with
two floors.
Yeah, two floors. But it's planned for a lot of years now. So these are even small things which taken a long while, a very long while.
Well, you got a new playground in this.
Yeah, school. Yeah. That's cool.
That's really cool. How long did that take?
I'm not really sure about it. But I'm now there in my seventh year, and they planned it even before. I guess I'm not really sure, but you know. I mean, it's like the Berlin airport. we experience a lot of those things.
Yeah. Which in itself is an interesting question.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. But what you said before with the movement, I have to say that I experience not with myself, but what I see is we're getting more lazy. We're getting lazier and lazier. You know those scooters, those electrical scooters.
Oh man, ankle killers.
Sorry guys, I hate it. I hate it because it's not, you know, they're always in the way. They say it's good for the environment. It's not. Even if you have to build it, it's not very good for the environment. A lot of people who use them just throw it into the water, which is very bad for our water and our rivers. And also, we get even more lazier. You know, if you use that thing, you can get on a bike. You know, if you have to go from A to B, use the bike. We have also bikes you can rent. Why do you have to use the scooter? I don't understand it. Mm. Okay, if you have a bad knee, it could be okay, but...
So you were right.
I won't use it. No. Okay. Before I use that, I walk.
Yeah, yeah, I don't like seeing it either. I think people should, you know, as you say, walk, get a bike, or you can even have the scooters, which are non-electric.
Yeah. Yeah?
So
yeah.
They're also quite cool. Yeah. I used to love, I remember sitting on the bus once watching a mother and her kid on the same scooter, and the mum was like, you know, using her feet, pushing the scooter around. She looked so cool. and Lena does that as well sometimes with our boy, and I just think it's so cool, just to see it, just do it, you know. Back, it's a throwback to the 80s, but hey, nice, the 80s nice. Were cool for some reason, you know. Cool.
Yeah, the modern ones are just making the people even more lazy.
I can't remember the name of this cartoon, but where basically people just didn't move anymore. Everything was technological. And
was it Wall-E?
Yes, I think it was Wall-E, yeah. And at the end, just getting the guy to stand up to make a difference was really hard. He couldn't get out of his seat. He hadn't moved for like years. And we could be heading...
That's a trend I don't like either. Nah, I want us getting moving again. Mm. I would like to support people and for more movement and being enthusiastic about it, because it can be so much fun. I mean, it's also, you know, it's proof. You get positive hormones by moving and sweating and stuff. Then it's killed by a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I love promoting also sort of local excursions where, you know, instead of getting on a plane and flying off to some part of the world, you know, get a train somewhere locally, go camping, you know, do hiking, these kinds of things. There's so much to see in the local area that we don't even know about.
I was the last summer, the summer before, I was riding the whole way of the Berlin Wall with my girlfriend. That was a great experience. I was at places I've never seen. I'm Berliner through and through. Always lived here, but just riding that 160 kilometers just, you know, broadened my horizon, new experience, saw places I've never seen. I can really recommend it for everybody who likes to get on a bike. Wow, that was very, very great. Great time.
Okay, all right. How long did that take you?
We had to do it in four different days, you know. We started way in the west and stopped then at Treptower Park. The first leg kind of was the longest, was 80 kilometers. And the three afterwards was shorter because we started too late, or the weather was bad, or my knee hurted sometimes, or I was hungry. So, but that's okay. Mm. We had great rides. So I really can recommend it to anybody.
Okay, yeah, cool. I mean, I love discovering different parts of Germany. And funnily enough, one of the reasons that I motivated to do this is because when I grew up in London, I saw so little of the UK as a result. Everything was so sort of London-centered for me. And so when I speak to people, my students, and they say to me, yeah, I've done the distilleries in Scotland, I've been to Ireland, nice. I've done this in Northern, in Wales and so on. And I haven't done any of these things.
There you're talking of something. I have to go back to the UK very, very soon. I miss my relatives there. They all live in Luton and Milton Keynes, and some of them in London. So I have to get back soon.
Mm. Yeah, it's been tough recently, but hopefully maybe this year.
I hope the pandemic situation is getting better. Mm. Very much, very much.
One other of the issues, and you also referred to it a little bit with regards to social interaction. You mentioned this particular child who, upon returning from the lockdown, was sort of socially a bit more inhibited.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, how is the level of social interaction in your mind for kids in the school system? Is it encouraged? Is it positive?
You mean in general, not because of Corona, just in general, the interaction they have between them. In our school, it's very much encouraged because we have a lot of freedom of working. It's not it's not so much that the teacher is just standing in front. They are always learn together a lot. They even lie on the floor on a rug. And learn together on their bellies, and try to sort things out, talk, getting solutions together. They are not really used to it to be quiet. So sometimes in some situations when it is necessary, because you have to show them something or tell them something, it's sometimes very hard to get them not talking. So they're always used to talk a lot. When I go back to that acoustic stuff, when in the cafeteria or Mensa in German, I don't know, when they eat, it's so bad, the acoustic, that sometimes we had to have those phases where they weren't not allowed to talk because it was too loud.
Wow.
The thing is, when you just look at one table with six kids or so, when you look at them, they're not talking loud, they're not screaming, but all together, everybody in that room, about 80 to 100 kids, when they come together, it's so loud. You can't bear it. Sometimes I even wear ear protectors because I can't take it. Being in a cafeteria should be the moment where they could talk and exchange their minds and talk about those things, but it's very, very tough, very tough. But mostly we have, I would say, very, very, very social kids, and the most of them, yeah. And they get good in touch, and that's a good thing about bigger classes. There are also negative things about it because of sometimes too loud, or you really don't see a need of a kid, but you have the choice. Every kid has a choice with whom he wants to be, he or she, or also with which educator or with what teacher he wants to be. So he has a choice. Nobody has to be alone. Of course, there are some kids who really want to be alone, and sometimes that's, you have to respect that. Or of course, it's hard to see it, because I'm a very social person. I love to be around people. That's one reason I do the job. But there are just a few kids who just really want to be alone. But at my place, it's very encouraged to interact with each other.
Mm. I mean, in the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen, okay, in Germany, we had the refugee crisis.
Yeah.
But further afield, we've seen the Me Too movement. We've seen Black Lives Matter. You know, these are all very important social movements. How do you see sort of gender equality among the kids? Is this something of an issue? Do you recall any situation where you've had to tell a boy be more respectful to the girls because that behavior is not permitted? I mean, do these things still arise? And I don't mean necessarily something abusive. I just mean, for example, oh, I'm good at maths, you're terrible. That kind of mentality is what I mean.
It's sometimes very hard to find out where that is coming from. That, you know, that typical thing that boys are good in math and the girls not and stuff. But the reality I see, we don't talk about the reason. The reality is that I see it is like that.
It's know? Still this way.
It is still in average, a boy is better in math than girls. There are maybe a lot of reasons why it is so, but we don't, at our school, it's very, I would say we try to develop a very big kind of gender equality, but maybe it's never going to work for 100% because we are not the first line of socialization. And that's a very important thing for the most parents to understand. We're maybe the third line. It's first the parents, then the family, then maybe even before the friends or stuff. The school is the third line. So if you build a kind of base, we just try to repair some stuff. So it has to be an other front. So, but we have also things like we're gonna have a all gender toilet, which is coming soon. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that. But racial issues, for example, I cannot really see it. You know, I have not experienced that very much. I've heard some stories, but I would say we are very, very tolerant and open. And for kids, normally, 99.9%, they don't give a damn where you're coming from. Mm-hmm. They don't give a damn how you look. They're just interested if they connect, if somebody's nice, if you can have fun. So they don't care. But they're also interested, which is okay. I think it's very important that you show interest where you come from. Sometimes in the state of the social discussions now, it seems to be bad that you ask somebody where he's coming from. I don't understand it. You know, I don't look very German. And if somebody's asking me where are my roots, hey, I'm cool with it. Because you show interest in me. It doesn't mean you discriminate me at all. So a lot of kids ask me, where's the dad from? Are you German? Are you that? Are you this? Can you speak that language? And that's a good starting point for talking. And also then you can show your interest in the other person again, talking back. So yeah, and we have a lot of different cultures and religions and backgrounds, and we're very, very colorful. And it's kind of a melting pot in our school, little society in itself. And we also have foreign teachers. So yeah, I'm working in a very tolerant place, very colorful place.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's one reason why I'm so happy there, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, they also have this sort of Montessori style approach to things, and not every school in Berlin has that.
No. To be open to educate yourself when you can, just get assisted when you do it.
Okay. And you mentioned that there is the first level, as it were, of socialization is the parents. What's the relationship like with parents? Because I understand that some parents are easy to work with and other parents are not perhaps so easy to work with. And there are any number of levels in between.
Yeah, it's the variety cannot be couldn't be broader. We have kids who have issues, and where you try to solve the issues, but you have to work with the parents. So it's kind of a companionship, I would say.
Partnership, yeah.
Partnership. Mm. But if the parents don't do anything, or don't work with you, or you cannot even make an appointment for talking, then it is very hard to get through to the kid. So that is one extreme. Kids who parents who do not even answer your calls, your emails, who don't give a damn. And then the other extreme is parents, when you criticize their kid or saying, hey, he didn't do good, she didn't do good, here we have to solve something. It's nobody's fault but the teachers. You know, the teacher's wrong. My kid didn't do bad. It cannot be. They cannot take responsibility for their kids because they would have to take responsibility for their own actions. So, you know, that's a very big variety. And we have always very, very tough appointments and talking with teachers. But it's also there also can be so nice moments when you get appreciated, you know, when just little things. For Christmas, you get from some parents some small gifts or just a thank you, just a compliment and telling how much their kids like it to be there and stuff. So it's a big variety of sort of parents now. But I have to say, I would like parents to take more responsibility in general, I must say, because it's not always have to be a bad thing. I'm not a parent yet. I don't know how it is, you know, but it's not a bad thing to take responsibility, because your kid is going to learn from it, and everybody can fail.
No.
And if you fail, take responsibility. So, and we all can learn from it, and we can grow together, we can move towards each other. It's never a bad thing. So yeah, that's one wish I have.
Yeah. I mean, I've quite through this podcast, I've often referred to like non-binary issues with regards to, you know, right and wrong. As in, I don't think the world can be split into right and wrong, good and bad, black and white. That doesn't work. You can make one decision which is wrong, but if you make the same decision the next day, it's right. As in, you know, what is the measure of this? I don't know. Good and bad also doesn't necessarily exist, or good and evil. I don't think these are real states.
Yeah.
However, people feel it's easier for them to categorize things in that way. But as you said, trial and error, you know, experience, but taking a decision, making a move in a certain direction, move forward, and you know, introduce an action.
Yeah, and then make an experience, reflect on it, talk about it with other people, and analyze it, and then you maybe go a step back, or you go move forward again.
Mm. Yeah. Earlier on, you mentioned, and this will close out on the topic. You mentioned Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Yeah?
The GOAT.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. absolutely, the greatest of all time.
No debate. Not in my eyes.
No, not even what's his name's what's the guy at the moment? King Charles. He,
little King.
Yeah, well, still
LeBron.
Yeah, but Jordan is always Jordan.
Yeah.
But do you think nowadays kids have got these great role models that we had? I mean, Jordan was just supreme.
Yeah,
you know. LeBron does a lot of good social work, so I think he's also brilliant in it. Maybe he was a bit better than Jordan at the time, but you know, it's a different world again.
Yeah.
Do you think kids nowadays have that kind of a role model?
They have role models, but I think they have the wrong ones sometimes. I did also that group work, that AG, Arbeitsgemeinschaft, where we had the boys club, because sometimes boys want to be just on the boys and girls on the girls, which is okay, you know. And we had the topic role models, and they had very different kinds of role models. Sometimes it was the older brother. Sometimes it was their dad or their uncle and stuff. That was very, very cool. But some of them had some kind of YouTubers who just made some funny stuff, which is not very, I don't know, didn't earn my respect so much, or wasn't, I don't know, how do you call it?
Didn't actually contribute anything positive.
No, not at all. So they have, in my eyes, they sometimes have very strange role models. But they have also in sports, it's always the question between Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo. The most often word I've heard in the last half year was "see" from Cristiano Ronaldo. I cannot even hear it anymore. But he's one role model of it.
Yeah, he plays for a club that I support, Manchester United.
You do?
But I think he's destroyed...
Damn, why am I here?
But I think he's destroyed the team dynamic. I really don't think Ronaldo should be there.
Well, then I'm very happy that he destroyed your team dynamic, because I don't like Manchester United at all.
Who do you support? Let's say Chelsea.
No. I was born into an Arsenal family. I have no chance.
That's all right. That's cool.
My bigger cousin was my... sort of a role model and idol when I was, I don't know, 5 years old, and he was running around with an Arsenal shirt, so Arsenal all the way. And then at second, Liverpool. So if you fail, I'm happy.
Cool. Well, I mean, Arsenal and Manchester United are two fallen giants at the moment.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Arsenal's doing better. I have to say, Arteta has managed to... Yeah, he surprised me, because I thought, I was so happy Arteta was such a terrible manager. And somehow Arsenal stuck with him, and he's done really well. And
United, like you should have done with Solskjaer.
Yeah.
Your new manager, I don't know.
You don't like,
I don't know. He's like kind of a professor.
Yeah.
And I cannot see him connecting with the people. But coming back to no problem. But, it's always a nice debate about, you know, football passion, who you like, you know. But coming back to role models, there should be a lot of different kind of role models, like, I don't know, like your dad again, or some people who really create something. But where are those people presented? If you have Instagram or TikTok, these are the new role models. So there are even kids, when you ask them, what do you want to become? They tell you, I want to be an Instagram star. And that's a very, very, in my eyes, a very sad thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, if they say, I want to become an astronaut, yeah, go for it. I support it. You know?
Mm.
Although, okay, it's not very probable, but it's a way more respectful thing to do than getting TikTok star and move your butt in a strange way also.
Yeah. I've seen a few references to TikTok, and again, it's a platform that I think it's too young for somebody like me, but then again, there's a lot of companies moving into TikTok because this is the new generation. So
they use it as marketing and getting money and stuff, and we also have to deal with it. You know, if you just talk it too negative, like I just did, it won't work. So we have to cope with it. But I hope we can help younger people to still also have other role models than just that.
Yeah. No, I completely understand and agree. I'm trying to think of who I would perhaps suggest if I was to sit down with my son and say, okay, who should be your role model? I don't think it's a parent's place to give.
No,
to force kids to have a role model, but who would I suggest from the current group, which is visible? Again, I don't really know.
I have to say, because he was just honored, I would maybe suggest Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah,
he was loyal, he was resilient, he was humble, he was friendly, he stayed down to earth, he didn't become arrogant.
Mm.
And just a lovely guy from next door. So,
and everyone in the NBA loved him. As in
everybody.
His last games, they would stop and just applaud him. Yeah. And I just thought, wow. I mean, that was like some emotional farewell to Dirk, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And if you get that kind of respect, there's a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody gets that.
No. Well, I can't remember any other basketball player even getting that. I mean, lots of players are respected, they're Hall of Famers and so on, but Dirk was particularly
one of a kind. Yeah. One of a kind.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Marcus Rashford, not as successful as a player, but off the pitch, yeah, some of the stuff that he's done is also, you know, very good work there. I like to see more sort of actors being portrayed as role models. Mm-hmm. You know, it's because you see nowadays lots of diversity is coming through. So, you know, it's good to see people of different cultures represented as having sort of big positions, like female presidents or black presidents and these kinds of things. It's good to see that because it gives people a kind of target to aim towards.
Yeah, that you can make it also, like a Denzel Washington also.
Exactly, yeah. Or Sidney Poitier, who passed away a few days ago, unfortunately. Yeah, I mean, these people were great for me as targets to have. I grew up with, you know, watching their shows. But nowadays, you know, kids, I don't know, if they're always on YouTube watching or their TikTok people, they're not going to see the diversity that you can see in movies and TV shows.
Yeah, but I think they also have an other form of diversity. I mean, there's a it gives, what I have to say, that it gives a lot of female the chance to show themselves independent. You know, before with like acting and sports, they were dependent on other people. But now you can be your own boss. You can go your own way to success. So that can be a positive thing for it.
These social media things give women a safer space, as it were, in which to promote themselves.
Because they can manage it themselves.
Yeah.
That's a good thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. All right, Raphael, I mean, we've wanted to get this going for some weeks, months maybe, so I'm really happy that we've managed to, you know, sort of take our first tentative steps.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy too. I'm very glad we finally made it.
Finally. It'll also be good to have you back on the basketball court once you've seen your knee sorted out.
Yeah.
In the future, you'll join me again and we'll do some more talks and different topics.
I would love to.
Yeah?
I would love to.
Brilliant.
If you invite me, I'm going to come.
I'm always going to invite you. That's
maybe a little faster than this time.
Two. I can't complain. You eventually made it, yeah? That's the positive.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Two. And a mic.